Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Follow me on Twitter at John Canzano BFT on Twitter. BFT stands for Bald Faced Truth. Follow me there on Twitter if you want updates, breaking news. If you're on Twitter, make sure that you follow me on Twitter. Nick Daschle of the Oregonian, also a great follow, and he covers Oregon State, is joining us. We've been talking a lot about dads. You are a father. You got a bunch of kids that you raised. One of the questions nobody answered for me, really, Daschle, was what happens when they hit 18 plus. We've been talking about the bucket that they walk around with as a kid. Do you continue to put things in their bucket when they get older?
Oh, yeah, mostly money. well, you know, by the time they're 18, you know, they really, you know, not really too concerned about what you've got to say anymore because they're headed off to college. I think it's when they get done with college, they're more, you know, now they're at the point where, what do we do now? But yeah, I don't know. I hope we gave them a good education, and you know, that's probably the main thing I would hope. And you know, they appear to be doing well in school, and one of them's doing well in after school. So, I mean, we just try to be there for advice, and you know, they call me for money, and they call my wife when they need to cry, which is still often for girls.
That's interesting. I remember being at Disneyland. I think it was the Oregon Ducks were in the Final Four, so it was like a year and a half ago or whatever. And we were down at Disney World, and we went to Disney World and paid a bunch of money to get in. And the little kids only wanted to go on the teacups, and It's a Small World. They wanted to go on nothing else. And I was walking out of Disney World that day, and I said, it's no longer about me. Wasn't feeling sorry for myself. It's just kind of a sobering realization that I'm not going to Disney World to ride the roller coasters anymore. Not until they do.
Yeah, Disneyland is kind of our thing. Me and the girls, they don't want to have anything to do with mom when it comes to Disneyland. It's me. We go probably every year, and I took both of them individually when they were in kindergarten, and I mean it's like that's our thing. And I get texts from both of them. Hey, it's opening on whenever, you know, it's going to open in July, and let's go in October. And I'm going, no, we're not going that soon. But
that's awesome, yeah. Though.
Yeah, that's always been our thing.
I love that. Daschle, let's talk Oregon State. You were on a conference call yesterday. What was the State of the Union, and how did you end up asking all the questions? I saw some of the other media saying, thanks to Nick Daschle for asking all the questions.
nobody else had anything, I guess, or maybe I just, you know, every once in a while I'd stop and take a breath and wait for somebody to ask, and I'd say, okay, I just keep going, because I got plenty of questions about how they're going to roll this whole thing out, you know, starting Monday with all the testing and you know, how they're going to space people out and keep them healthy and, you know, everything. And you know, it's going to be interesting. I mean, it does sound like the safest place to be for these athletes right now is going to be on campus. As soon as they get off, you know, the Scott Barnes and the coaches and those people are open. They're going to the athletes are going to follow the rules and stay safe. But you know, you don't really know. They're 20-year-olds, but while they're on campus, it's going to be. I mean, it's going to be military style pretty much. You know, you go here. Make you sure your distance, the tests and the thermometer checks when they walk into the Sports Performance Center, and you know, only the same group of 10 will go into the locker room together at one time. So if somebody comes down with, you know, a test positive, they'll know exactly who those guys have been around, you know, for big periods of time, and they can test the others. And yeah, I mean, that's life as it's going to be, at least for the in the short run at Oregon State.
What was the big takeaway? If you know, if you come out of that news conference, what's the headline? You know, what are they going to do when they get a positive test? Will they name the athlete? Do we have a sense on that?
No, I don't expect they're going to name the athlete. I expect that they're going to tell us, yes, we have positive, we have positives. I would not expect, you know, them to name the athlete. And frankly, that's kind of the right thing to do. I would think that's sort of a privacy issue, but I want to know, you know, are there five football players testing positive, and, you know, are they all, you know, from a certain, I guess I'd like to know what, you know, if they're all linemen or something, just so you have an idea of what area the team is impacted by that. But, you know, they say they're going to be open about it. So as far as the numbers go, so let's hope they are.
Last week, Brian Lindgren was on the show. I've got the defensive coordinator, Tim Tebasar, on this Wednesday coming up. But I'm interested with the offense in particular, sort of, you know, Jamar Jefferson. I know he split time with Artavis Pierce last year, but I really like to see him get going again. What did you think last year and sort of the production lapse that he had was really related to? Was it Pierce? Was it injuries? Was it some combination of things?
Well, actually, I talked to Brian this morning for about a half hour, and, you know, we talked about Jamar a little bit, and I asked him, I said, did you feel like he made progress last year, you know, or did the injury, was it the injuries? Or, and he just felt like, you know, the injuries just really never let him, you know, get into a groove. And the fact that, you know, Pierce was always there to pick up the slack, they didn't really need Jamar to, you know, to really push through and be the guy, because AP was always, I mean, he was always pretty good. But, and I think, you know, but they don't have him this year, and they really need Jamar to step up and be that, you know, be that lead guy again, and especially since they don't have a Hodgins or a Luton. And, you know, I that was the thing I mentioned to Brian, is that, you know, I've been watching some Oregon State's games on, you know, Pac-12, just because, you know, what else you got to do right now. And I've noticed, you know, the one thing I noticed is, and I know this isn't a big revelation, but just the magic that was there between Jake Luton and Isaiah Hodgins, especially when they need a big play. I mean, they would find the smallest hole, and Hodgins would somehow come up with the ball. They had such a chemistry, and, you know, that's just something they're going to have to figure out a way to recreate elsewhere, or create elsewhere on this team this upcoming season, because that was a big part of last year's. They always could count on that combination to come up with a play.
Who's the most likely candidate if you're going to pick from that receiver group and sort of say, all right, here's going to be the go-to guy in 2020?
Well, I think Trayvon Bradford wants to be that guy. You know, we'll see. I mean, he showed signs of it 2 years ago when he was healthy, and I mean, he was every bit as productive as Hodgins was. I mean, he's a different player. They don't have that guy that's a, you know, for lack of a better term, a post up receiver who can just go up, who just go out, you know, line up against somebody and bring a ball down. They're going to have to win more battles with speed, which they've got on this roster. So I think Bradford's probably that guy. But, you know, I think they're hoping Lindsey's going to take a big step forward this year. And then, you know, maybe it's the occasional home run from Josiah Irish. They've been talking about what speed he's got and how he's going to be able to take the top off of defenses. Maybe, you know, this is the year he breaks out, and he's that guy that, you know, wins them a couple of games with a, you know, just a big play that they need.
Nick Daschle of the Oregonian is with us. Follow him on Twitter. Also read him on OregonLive.com. This training period's going to happen. They're going to bring players back to campus. We're going to see that effective Monday, really, and we'll start to get reports. But like a lot of the rest of the country, There have been setbacks at different places, University of Central Florida, University of Houston, but they've handled them very differently. Did you get a sense from Oregon State, if they have three or four athletes who do test positive for coronavirus, do they shut the whole thing down? Do they just quarantine the three athletes? What are they going to do?
You know, I asked that a couple different ways yesterday. I asked, you know, what is the trigger for, you know, either shutting down things or you know, pulling a certain group of players aside? You know, how many guys would you have to have test positive to, you know, really make a... And all I got was the, yeah, we're going to follow Benton County, you know, health department standards at the time. And so it was...
It's a non-answer.
You know, I just, so I don't know. I don't know what the number would be. You know, yeah, let's just hope they don't have to get there. But it's certainly a possibility because a lot of schools are popping up positives. I saw Baylor had three today. I mean, it's every day there's somebody that's got. I saw Kansas State had somebody, and they're talking about how the whole team might be infected right now. And so, yeah, I mean, it could happen anywhere. I think they know. I just don't know if they want to put it out there yet because, you know, they just don't want that number out there. You know, what would it take to shut things down? They want to keep it as positive as possible.
The quarterback position, they've got Tristan Jebbia who returns. I say returns because he started the Civil War. How valuable was that Civil War game in getting him one game so that when they start this season, presumably in Stillwater against Oklahoma State, this isn't the first time he's lining up to start a major college football game?
Yeah, I was thinking that during the game last year, you know, okay, they're not winning the game here, but just the fact that he you know, didn't flinch in a hostile situation, knowing that this is going to happen all over again in the opener in 2020, I mean, that game was almost a win for Oregon State just from that standpoint because they got a guy they know can step in and get in that situation and not take a step back. But I mean, I think he's going to be the guy. But I mean, I keep hearing good things about the freshman kid, and I'm not saying he's going to start, but I think they like him more than people know, and Chance Nolan, we don't know exactly what he can do yet because of the spring practice. They didn't get a good chance to look at him, but I think they're in pretty good shape with quarterbacks right now. I don't know if they have an elite quarterback, but I think they're in pretty good shape with what they've got on the roster.
What do you think happens this college football season? Because I hear from some people who say, look, I don't think fans are going to be anywhere near the stadium. And I hear others say, you know what, I think they're going to play the games, but, you know, you're going to see some teams forfeit games because they're going to have outbreaks that they can't field a team for that Saturday's game. And what do you think happens?
Boy, I'm just prepared for anything. I mean, how do you know? I mean, I think they're going to try to play the opener, but I just don't know. As the ADs keep saying, everything is on the table. And I mean, really, that's the only way you can approach this year because, I mean, we don't know. I mean, August, you know, August will really be the first big test where the whole team is together, you know, all the time and in close quarters and whatnot. And maybe, you know, there's a bunch of outbreaks there and, you know, suddenly the opener's in jeopardy. I just don't know, but I just know the way things have progressed from March to June, that we've seen some positive steps. I would think from June to September, we'll see more. So I would say the odds are, if I was to pick, I'd say they're gonna pull this season off and get it done by the middle of December. But I wouldn't put any money on it. I would just say that would where I would put the odds at.
Nick Daschle, I appreciate you, man. Thank you for all you do, and thanks for being a good dad to those kids of yours.
All right. I'll tell him you said so.
Yeah, tell him I said that. Send him this segment, for crying out loud. They need to hear it. Hear the, you know, how that Disney story melted dads everywhere. So make sure those kids take care of you this weekend. There's Nick Daschle of the Oregonian. Leave it here. Our big splash is coming up. There's this photograph that the Reserve Golf Course has, and it shows kind of the clubhouse and the big body of water that's right in front of the clubhouse. There's this fairway alongside of it. It's my favorite golf photo, because every time I go looking and I start thinking about good weather and I look up the Reserve Golf Course, I see that photo, and I can remember being on that fairway for the Celebrity Golf Tournament last year, hitting over that body of water onto the green. I love that picture, and I'm hoping to get out there. It's summer. We're getting good weather starting this, looks like about late Wednesday, Thursday of this week. All my friends out there living in other states, I tweeted out a photo of the weather forecast, and they all went, oh, it's already 85 here. Nick in Seattle is called in about Father's Day. Father's Day coming up Sunday. What did your dad put in your bucket?
Yeah, John, you know, thanks so much for today's topic. This week's always really hard for me because I lost my dad when I was at 16, and, you know, that was 2006, and so, you know, pretty long time ago looking back now. But even though, you know, I didn't get to have my dad around when I was 18, I think because, you know, he was diagnosed with cancer early enough, we kind of got to fit enough in that I really got to kind of learn that you don't just fill, you know, your kid's passion bucket, but when you get older, they start to give it back to you, you know? And I think with my dad, one of the biggest things is growing up, he was really big into cars, and, you know, he is a Vietnam vet. He used to drive tanks and motorcycles and lived an adventurous lifestyle.
Hey, Nick, you're going to get cut off here. I don't want to cut this story off. Hang on, and we'll continue it after the break. All right, I don't want you
to... We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.